Of course, are sentiments that we would echo totally from Siren Radio, because obviously we're going to have a perfect Christmas. It's all going to be wonderful and it's going to be simply marvellous. Or is it? Because a recent survey has revealed that actually festive joy peaks before the 25th of December even. To address this and the top 12 Christmas rows, we're delighted to welcome to the production ace TV psychologist, columnist, presenter extraordinaire. It's Emma Kenny. How are you, Emma?
I'm very well, very excited, obviously. It is the festive season, which may just be my favourite season of all.
Which is great stuff, because there is that excitement. But is it a case of we build up to this whole experience and we think, oh, it's too much. We can't cope anymore.
Right, yeah. So I've been looking at a new report by free TV on-demand service, UKTV Play, basically. And that's what I've been reading. And what I've been taking from that is, as opposed to people feeling just like me, they're feeling the opposite. They're feeling pretty unhappy at times with Christmas because of the pressures they're placing upon themselves. And when you actually look at the top 10 to 12 facts, you can kind of understand why. So, for example, on the 24th of December, apparently that's when people kind of feel that level of overkill, that they've got to that point of where it's climax and anticlimax, shall we say. And at that point, the frustration set in. But the biggest issue is money. You know, 15% of people are saying that the pressure that they put on themselves to create the perfect event, to provide the most beautiful opportunities for their kids to have gifts and their friends to enjoy their hospitality, that's placing a huge pressure on people. And so we can do quite a lot to change those issues. But for some reason, we just kind of stay with that materialistic desire of providing things for everybody at a cost to our own mental health and well-being, really.
In the studio, we have Dean of Transnational Education at the University of Lincoln, Dr. David Cobham. David, does what Emma's been saying resonate with your life and experiences?
Well, can I just say how pleased I am that maybe it's the 24th that when you said it peaks before the 25th, I thought we might have already missed
exactly.
It and it gone already. But thankfully, we can still look forwards, which is terrific.
Relax.
I think, I'm really interested in this, Emma, and I think you're right. I think the financial side is the big thing, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah.
I think in the Cobham household, I mean, my wife is brilliant at buying presents, absolutely fantastic. But I'm on a mission to try and get down to the sort of Secret Santa approach to present buying.
I love that.
I think so. And some cleverly bought, you know, £3.99, witty, useful thing that somebody will appreciate, I think is much better than the expensive gift that perhaps gets put in a drawer or even returned.
Yeah.
Sounds as though that's receiving the Emma Kenny seal of approval.
No, I'm with
you.
Well, the thing is, I'm sure that, as you know, well, probably both of you know, actually, one of the big things that you see when you look at research is the capitalist idea of happiness, buying and owning things and stuff, the whole theory of stuff. We know it doesn't make us happy. Yes, money obviously makes life easier, I will not deny that. But actually, on a happiness level, that comes down very much to your attitude and also down to the impact that you have within your family. So we know the foundation of really good happiness levels is being surrounded by people that we're very closely connected to. And whilst when you kind of look at the top points as to what is annoying people, part of that is that kind of cabin fever effect. But if you're lucky enough to experience cabin fever effect with your closest and nearest and dearest, you're actually very, very lucky because you have that connection. So it's more about how do we reframe our attitudes to that scenario and see it as a blessing as opposed to a curse at times.
I think the other thing with the on the present giving side, which I've noticed over the years, is there's more and more of this, it was present buying, then it was money and vouchers.
Yes.
And now it's, we'll give you our bank account details and you give us yours. And we'll put some money in your account for those kids and they'll put some money in our. And actually, it all balances out, which to a certain extent is perhaps helpful on the financial side. But you wonder why you've gone through all that.
So right. So should we do that? We do that with my sister's kids.
It's an extraordinary strategy. I mean, personally, if you want happiness, I would say just go to the ekenny.co.uk website, basically.
Thank you, I like that.
Sorted through on that basis. It's what the University of Central Lancashire in Manchester would be proud of, Emma.
I hope so.
In terms of, I mean, we mentioned obviously in-laws' behaviour, money worries and all the rest of its pieces. Is it sometimes time literally just to take a time to count to 10, relax and unwind?
One of the things that I always say within conflict per se is when you spend time with people that you know well, often that leads to the fact that you feel you've got more permission to take issue with things that they say. But actually, very often, that comes from wider frustrations about our world. Often, the way that we're feeling when we're a bit narky isn't to do with that person at all. It's to do with much bigger issues within ourselves. Taking a 5-minute walk, just getting outside for a breezy kind of walk to clear your head, those kind of things reduce your stress levels, increase that sense of calm and acknowledge that you don't need to react. And reacting is often a thing that you make a choice to do as opposed to something that really impulsively needs to be controlled, because actually if you control it, you're not going to do any damage. And I was kind of looking at these, the 12 rows of Christmas, you know, like the in-laws coming over. We all know that feeling, you know, lots of us know that feeling. But again, it's the connection that if you've got a partner and they have parents, part of the fact that you have a partner because of their parents, and actually we should kind of have that kindness. And I just think operating in that mentality of kindness all the time helps a lot to dissipate frustration and stress.
As we were saying with Richard Fitzwilliams and Meghan Merkle from our royal correspondent's point of view, just imagine the stresses and strains she might be under when she's got to meet the grandmama in law to be. But still,
I think she's gonna love that. Yes. I think Meghan Merkle's going to abs. I think she's been dreaming of that moment for at least 15 years.
Emma, I have to agree. Emma, it's been wonderful touching base with your good self. Where can people go to find out further details about what we talked about today?
You can go on at UKTV Play or Facebook UKTV Play. Obviously, the great thing about it is it's completely free, so they've got a festive schedule that isn't going to cost any money.
Wondrous. So, two final questions.
Lovely chatting.
Well, I was going to say, hopefully we can speak again in 2018.
Hey, have a fantastic Christmas and New Year as well.
Yay!
Bye!
It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true, wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas.
A cup of kindness that we share with another. A sweet reunion with a friend or a brother.
In all the places you find love, it feels like Christmas.
It is the season of the heart. A special time of caring, the ways of love make clear.
It is the season of the spirit. The message, if we hear it, is make it last all year.
It's in the giving of a gift to another, a pair of mittens that were made by your mother.
It's all the ways that we show love that feel like Christmas.
Upon a child that we'll always remember, it is the summer of the soul in December. Yes, when you do your best for love, it feels like Christmas.
It is the season of the heart, a special time of caring, the ways of love made clear.
The season of the spirit, the
a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true, wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. It's true, wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas.
It was about 90-odd years ago when the joyous documentary Nanook of the North actually entered the culture with Robert Flaherty, of course, producing an awesome documentary of the real life of Eskimos and so on, although the question about a real life was still the subject of much academic debate. Now, in the 21st century, it seems that it's not just a case of taking real life that stage further, but our adventurous nature is moving even further forward. And to address the notion of adventuring holidays and adventure holidays per se, we're delighted to welcome that awesome broadcaster, photographer, general all-round wonderful soul who's recorded for radio in more than 110 countries. That would be the legend Mark Stratton. How are you, Mark?
Well, I probably quibble with a legend tag, but I'm very well, thank you.
Now, you've just returned from an Arctic cruise through the Northwest Passage.
Yes.
Again, one of the world's last true frontiers. I mentioned at the start of the piece that clearly we look back at the early days of documentary making and so on, and that was the first sort of stage where people really had the notion that there was a brave new world that possibly was maybe within their reach. And it's getting even more so in the 21st century with respect to travel, it would seem.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I've been through a territory called Nunavut. It's in the far north of Arctic Canada. And 300 years ago, they started to search for the Northwest Passage, a trade route to go from the Atlantic to the Pacific. And it claimed a lot of lives and a lot of hardship for many seamen who tried to get through the passage. And it was only in 1906 that it was first traversed. And now, with Arctic ice melting, more and more ships are starting to access it, including cruise ships. So these days, the hardships that you used to endure trying to get through that passage, being locked in the ice for year upon year, nowadays you can have a very relatively comfortable, let's call it soft adventure, through what is a very, very adventurous landscape.
Now, is this then a case of global warming actually having a positive outcome? Because I can already see people sort of immediately sort of saying, but if it's melting, it's not going to be good for us in any case. This is wrong. We shouldn't be going there.
Do you know, Ali, it's such a complicated picture. If you speak to the Inuit people, there's pros and cons. There's about 32,000 Inuit live in Nunavut territory over a vast area. And for them, potentially, this can bring new economic benefits if cruise ships are going through. The communities are relatively low-income communities, but equally so, it can affect things like, for instance, in springtime, they go out sealing. They still use and rely on country foods, and they'll tell you that with thinner ice, their snowmobiles are occasionally going through the snow, and obviously, you know, the consequences there are can be quite grave. But there's definitely, it depends on who you speak to regarding that, but it has implications for wildlife and tourism.
Certainly there is that notion that whilst it's all well and good talking about tourism and so on as a wonderful boon to local areas, local regions and so on, we've got a bit of a patchy track record. And by we, I'm referring to kind of Western culture. When we actually go on holiday, we sometimes don't necessarily leave it in as pristine as condition as we'd like to find it. Witness what's happening in the Himalayan mountain range.
Yes, and obviously that story has come up again recently. I think, you know, these days you are getting more and more choice, and certainly if you're planning to do a journey through the Northwest Passage or just take a cruise, which is really the only way you can get around that region, you've got to research, and you can research carefully operators, their track record on the environment, etc. There's, you know, a lot of companies doing really good things. So, you know, you've got to, it's up to the consumer to if they have concerns about being in an environment which is pristine, they need to look into how they can ameliorate that. It's a balance between the benefits you're bringing to those local communities and the damage you're doing. And I think you can have a very positive trip.
Is there a particular kind of personality that would actually fit this holiday style much more than, shall we say, the, well, it's 2 weeks in Benidorm and that's it, really?
Yeah, you know, I mean, okay, for instance, recent research has said that 40% of adventure travellers are between 50 and 70. So it's age is not a constraint on this now. You do need to be relatively fit. It can be quite demanding, the environment, if you're going out each day, walking in pristine remote national parks, and you're taking Zodiac rides off the ship, Zodiacs being small inflatables. So, but it is more or less open to anybody these days, and different budgets as well. I mean, the Northwest Passage still remains quite an expensive trip, but it's one of those adventures of the lifetime, and because that environment is so remote. But adventure travel has changed hugely in the last couple of decades in terms of who is accessing it.
In terms of your own personal highlights, I mean, I suspect that finding Franklin's ships, the HMS Erebus and HMS Terror, might have been one of those, but possibly not.
Well, it generally was. I've been obsessed by Arctic explorers and the Sir John Franklin expedition, which started in 1845 and saw the loss of all 129 men in a terrible catastrophe, and you know, actually being in the vicinity. Look, when we sailed past, the two ships have been discovered from the expedition in the last 3 years, the Erebus and the HMS Terror, and they've just been recently discovered, which is a really, really exciting thing. And one of them in particular, the Terror, is in fantastic pristine condition, but they're still being excavated at the moment. And so to be in the vicinity of those ships was, for me, absolutely thrilling, a really thrilling experience. And the story unfolds. It's so dramatic. And not least, there's a wonderful island called Beachy Island where they found three graves in the 1850s from the expedition. These men had died before the ship eventually sailed to where it sank. And this is the most hauntingly atmospheric place, and a real highlight of Canadian Arctic travel.
See, in terms of names, I much preferred HMS Beagle, you see. I thought that was much more suitable for Darwin and his explorations. HMS Terror, I think it's a bad name to start off with, really, and going downhill from thence. We're doing this particular piece, obviously, the second decade of the 21st century. Do you feel that space tourism and trips to Mars will be our successor's equivalent? And we'll be looking back over times for those. I mean, fortunately, we haven't had too many losses in terms of space exploration as yet. But it, will that be the equivalent to the Northwest Passage of the last century and so on?
It could well be. I mean, I wish I could have a crystal ball and say this is definitely going to happen. I think there's many logistics to overcome on that, not least the massive cost. It's not certainly going to be a very accessible thing, I think, in terms of cost to the average consumer. But yeah, I mean, you know, if an editor said to me, Mark, we've got a place for a trip to Mars, do you want to do it? I'd probably sign up, I suspect.
Excellent. Well, I think there is very good skiing, I believe, in some of the valleys of Marinaris.
It might be a one-way ticket, Alex.
Well, we'll hold fire on that one. If folk are actually keen to find out more about the Arctic exploration, though, and in particular what we've been talking about today, the notion of trekking off to the Arctic, where would you suggest they should actually go?
Yeah, there's several sources. I mean, certainly Destination Canada represent Canadian tourism, and they have a website, explore-canada.co.uk. You can have a look for adventurous options on my own website, markstrattontravels.com. And also there's the Adventure Travel Show, 20th to the 21st of January 2018, down at Olympia. And it's great to go and meet local tour operators firsthand and pick up some really wonderful ideas.
You just actually passed the London Boat Show course, which is also taking place, not in Olympia this year, but over in Excel. Lots of things to work through. I was interested to find that the average age of the adventurer traveller is 47, which seemed to be slightly more mature than I'd originally anticipated. But again, we're looking at 50 to 70, so perhaps there's room for not just Indiana Jones, but Indiana Jones's father and grandfather as well.
Yeah, indeed. I think, you know, people are fitter, have a better diet, and have a little bit more time if they've you know, had a reasonable career and have got a bit of money and to spend. And what a great way to blow your pension, eh?
I couldn't possibly comment, Mark, but I will actually ask you two final questions. Our particular kind of research questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
Excellent, yes. Very, very good.
In which case, can we prevail upon you, hopefully in 2018, to keep us appraised of some of the adventures that you've been going on or will be going on as we head through 2018 and beyond?
I'd absolutely love to, yeah. That'd be my pleasure.
Singer, scholar, festival ambassador and midweek drivette. It's Eva MacDonald on the Midweek Drive.
Yes, it's the last Midweek Drive Morning Edition before Christmas, and Eva MacDonald has joined us, David.
Hello.
Yes, exactly.
Hello, Eva.
Exactly. The world is just a little bit brighter as a result of that. Talking to Mark Stratton, of course, 47 being the average age of the flying.
I was
going to
say there's hope for all of us, yeah, well, but looking the wrong side back at that. But it's an average, Alex. It's an average.
It is, exactly. So you've got people in the 80s,
exactly,
you know, people, yeah, and so on.
Exactly.
You were sharing, you'd also done some travels in the Arctic Circle in your own experience.
As a student, I went into railing, and unlike most of my friends who sort of headed south to Italy and Spain, my friend and I decided to go north to Norway, which was absolutely spectacular, taking the train alongside the fjords and the snow-covered mountains.
Those crinkly bits, of course, as Slati Bartfast would have said.
Oh, of course, of course.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference. Eva, as we were just saying, this is the first time you've actually been in Lincoln for the December-January period for quite some time, because normally you're Cuba,
yeah,
Canary
weird.
Islands and so on. Would you consider going through the Northwest Passage and having a cruise in the Arctic Circle?
Well, I don't really like the cold.
Right. So but, probably not then, unless global warming really gets serious.
Well, I never say to new. I say, never say
never.
No to new things. Mm-hmm. So I might give it a go 1 year.
Here we are. And can we reveal where you will be performing in the summer of 2018 as yet? Is that official? Can we say
we
anything?
Can we?
I'm
going to a place called Sunnydale Holiday Park.
Home of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, of course, and the Hellmouth. Oh,
yes.
No, that's Los Angeles.
And then I think it's a place called Saltfleet. I think that's quite near Mablethorpe, near the seaside town, and 40 minutes from where I was this year.
And will knives be thrown at all?
I have no idea.
Swords,
you never know what happens.
Sharp instruments.
Role. You never know what happens as an entertainer.
Right. Well, that's, you can always say the same about being an academic, but we won't go there because it's a different line entirely. We started off, obviously, with Orfila, an incredibly talented trio, according to Dave Cash from BBC Radio Kent. A UK trio consisting of siblings Abby, Louise and Matt from Folkestone in Kent, first performed together as a band in mid-2012 when they supported BBC Radio 2 playlist singer-songwriter Ben Montague. Originally intended to be a one-off show. They're still with us 5 years later. And All Being Well will be featuring Lou for Orfila. How we can actually get through this without any part... We won't be able to. I mean, I think it's fair to say I wouldn't take any odds on us not having an Orfila big adventure or various other lines on that. Still, it's a start.
Just another Saturday night, trying once again to somehow get you off of my mind. When my friends turn up, loaded with
It's a wonderful title because you can actually use that at the start of any set because it quite literally is a start. Even if you're at the Gibraltar Music Festival in September 2016, opening up for the Stereophonics, Jess Glynn, Paul Young, Brian Ferry, Europe, Katie Tunstall, the Fratellis and Heather Small. I think it's only fair to say that they were just waiting to actually see the awesomeness that are Orfila in form. And it's Lou Orfila who's online at present. Lou, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good indeed. Delighted to connect with your good self. Now, David Cobham and myself, Dr. David Cobham, and yours truly have been listening now to two wonderful tunes there, because in the first part of the programme, of course, we had Reaching Out to You, which is wonderful for that. We were reaching out and we had It's a Start there. David, what did you make of It's a Start?
Oh, I really enjoyed those, Lou, both of those tracks. I'm a real sucker for that sort of close harmony singing and with that country vibe. Really enjoyed that very much.
Good.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
A big, bright, shiny smile on the face of our Dean of Transnational Education, which is one of and Eva McDonald's trained singer, operetta, soul, etc. What did you make of Orfila?
It sounded very uplifting. Mm. Very uplifting, especially for a day like today, where it's really dangerous. Yeah,
we need that uplifting Kentish sound that's actually there from that point of view. Clearly, Louise, you are with Abby and Matt, the trio that are Orfila, O-R-F-I-L-A. And did you think, oh, well, after we've done this in 2012, it's all going to be over. We've done this support thing for Ben Montague. We won't go any further. Little realising 5 years later, you'd be featuring across the whole... Even James Whale has quite rightly sort of sung your praises.
Yeah, well, we're really, really sort of lucky and really appreciate where we've come to sort of thing over the last 5 years. We really didn't think it was... We just enjoy music so much, and we've been brought up, our household was very musical when we were being brought up, so we just put ourselves into it thinking, do you know what, we'll do this because we love it, and we've been asked to kind of put this support slot together, so why not? And then it just became that thing of, that was great fun, let's do something else, let's just write something, because when we were younger, we used to write together like silly little tunes and things, and like just sort of, I don't know, we were just sort of going with our creativity, even sort of at the age, really young ages. And then we've always had that in us sort of thing. But then this kind of sparked it for us, this support slot 5 years ago, where we sort of went, actually, we enjoy it. We had fun when we played the gig and we love writing together and singing together. And why don't we just have a go at this? And then, yeah, we've just been, we really appreciate how we sort of, been received, I guess, and how people have kind of responded to our music and how we write and kind of followed us along the journey, because we kind of started more sort of folk pop kind of vibe, and then now our love of country music that we already have had for many, many years, that sort of then became our, it sort of kind of crept into our music a bit more and a bit more over the years, and now it is the sound that you hear is sort of the work of 5 years of kind of finding our sound, if you see what I mean. But yeah, it's just that thing of, we really appreciate it, and we're so grateful for all the things we've done to this point. And yeah, we just really, really appreciate it, all the support and stuff from everyone around us. So yeah, we just feel very lucky
We support being able to support, and accordingly, I've just actually followed you on your Twitter account because the update.
Oh,
Lou will be on @SirenFM in T-minus 2 minutes. It's already there. She's launched. She's landed. It's so exciting. Wow.
Exactly.
Questions, Eva, from your own point of view for Lou, who also has her own Twitter account, which I think I should actually sort of follow as well, because I see Louise Orfila, singer-songwriter, vocal coach, country girl, one third of UK country music sibling trio, Orfila Music. I'm following that as well. So there we are. It's two tweets and tweetettes, etc. Eva.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, so have Orfila, have you been doing anything for Christmas? Have you got any Christmas gigs lined up? Anything like that?
So we took a bit of a kind of step back for Christmas gigs this year because we had the launch of our EP, so we spent a lot of time building up to this and wanting to get the EP launch kind of done and
genius stuff there, Lou. You said building up to it, and of course it's called Built with a Builder's Hand. You'd almost
that.
Think Jeremy was scripting this. It's amazing. It's genius stuff.
I really didn't think of that. That's so funny. But yeah, so we do have a... It's funny you should say about the Christmas thing, because we did want to do something which shall be up on Christmas Eve on our social media. So if you keep an eye out, there is something Christmassy coming from us. Just a little something, all feeler style.
we're going to actually talk more about how Country to Country is going to be blessed with Orfila.
Orfila,
exactly. In 2018, but I feel it's time we had another weather forecast produced by Orfila. David, what do you think about snow, rain, hurricane?
I think that's one to look forward to.
Okay. From the fantastic EP, which is available from all good stores and so on, and has been available actually since Friday, the 8th of December. Any background to this one, Lou, in terms of, did you just sort of think, well, what's the ideal weather conditions that we'd love to have at Country to Country? You know?
Well, I mean, it's been very cold the times that we have played it. Mm-hmm. No, I'm joking. So basically, this one, it's just about the fact that it's one of those sort of fun songs. I mean, Matt and Abby originally came up with the idea. They were doing a bit of writing together, and then we kind of pulled it together in a session where it was just one of those kind of, I mean, some of the stuff we listen to is just kind of rock country sort of vibe, but Carrie Underwood and all that kind of thing. But that kind of aspect we wanted to get in, where it was kind of like a bit more of a story board, where you could kind of really hear, as we're singing it and as we're going through the story, you can kind of visualise all what's going on, which we find when we listen to country music. So we just wanted to have a bit of a sort of fun, a sort of fun approach to the way we were writing that one. But
well,
yeah.
I think we're about to actually press the button. I just have to, final little question. The three words there, do they refer to yourself, Matt and Abby? I mean, is one of you the rain, is one of you the hurricane, is one of you the snow?
I mean, the EP cover, we did actually do the old, right, your snow, I was dressed in white, and then Abby was the hurricane.
She's got the umbrella,
Matt's dressed in blue as the rain.
Wearing that well-known Kentish hat and headgear of the cowboy's white hat, proving that he is one of the good guys.
Stay
with us, Lou. We'll be with you after 3 minutes and 13 seconds of Snow, Rain, Hurricane from Orfila.
Smile when she-
and she walks down the aisle. A perfect wedding day scenario there, courtesy of Orphala. A round of applause, I think. Yay! Excellent stuff.
Thank you.
Eva, any thoughts on snow, rain, hurricane, apart from weather conditions you don't really like to go for?
Yeah, no, I liked it. It was quite, it was upbeat and a lively tune.
And continues onwards. Now, country to country. As we said last year, you were part of this grand, awesome event. And they've had some sense and they've realised that you're too good to be not on country to country again next year, Lou. So share with us what's going to be going on with respect to Orphala in an Orphala big adventure. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist it. I knew I would get through the line from there. What?
So, we've been lucky enough. We played it... We were supported by Yamaha the first time we played it in 2016. Mm-hmm. And then we were asked again to play it in the 2017 bill. But we're in the process of working out our timetable for 2018. So we're not 100% sure if we're on the bill, when we're on the bill, what we're doing, if we're part of the C2C lineup yet, because they start releasing that info anytime now. So we'll keep everybody posted on social media if we hear anything and obviously our whereabouts for 2018. We've got a few plans for 2018 in the pipeline, so we're quite excited about starting that in the new year. But we've got a few things lined up which will be quite exciting. But we want to keep everyone updated as much as possible, so we're constantly on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, all that sort of thing, Instagram, updating people. So as soon as we know stuff, we'll
that's okay. I might have preempted that because it was last year. I was thinking of Time Machine. I was thinking 2018 is country to country, but you were 2017, and as I say, we've already put the words out. Now it's almost been all filler day today because we launched with it. It's a start. We had Reaching Out to You, Snow, Rain, Hurricane. Do you have a particular favourite, Lou, of those three particular tracks?
Oh, it's so difficult. That's like asking your favourite child. I think Reach Out to You is very personal to me, so I feel like
that would probably be my favourite. What about yourself, David?
Yeah, I enjoyed all three. I have got a question for you, though, Lou, if I may.
Absolutely.
I can see from your website you are absolutely multi-talented musicians and play a huge array of instruments. And I guess you play the instruments on the tracks you record. But when you're out touring, does that give you an opportunity to play with other musicians? Do you perform only as a trio, or does that give you a chance to bring in other musicians to join in?
So we do actually have. So if we are doing a bigger gig, so for example, country to country this year, we're still in 2017. We brought in a band of musicians that we've worked with and good friends of ours, and they're great. So we were able to kind of have that full band sound on stage. When we go out and do sort of tours and gigs and stuff, we tend to keep it just us three, that it's as close to kind of. We like to just kind of. Just be very, I don't know what the word is, just kind of...
Intimate with the audience,
that's
isn't it, really?
Exactly. It's like intimate with the audience in a nice, safe sense. And I have to say, actually, Lou, I'm very impressed looking at your website at the pose you've actually you're performing there with the blue guitar. Another blue guitar, the blue tambourine.
Tambourine.
The blue tambourine, yeah.
Small one without the strings on.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's the days before my pretty tambourine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was just sort of thinking it's reminiscent of so much of the best work of Davy Jones and the Monkees, really. It's holding that tambourine at the front of
it. I guess it gives you the chance to perform the same songs, but in many different ways. So in the smaller format, but then with the bigger supporting musicians.
We do. It's more that kind of intimate sound when it's just us three. If we do gigs that are sort of in that kind of vein, we have to judge it by the gig we're playing, really. Oh. So if it's a bigger space, we obviously feel like we don't want to get lost in that kind of. So
when you booked for Shea Stadium, clearly that's a lot bigger than actually doing something in a nice sort of venue like the Engine Shed at Lincoln, perhaps. But anyway. Yeah. Obviously, you mentioned social media, Twitter, Facebook, and so on. You're across all of that. Plus, of course, orphilamusic.com. Have you, Lou, had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
I have indeed. Thank you very much for calling me this morning. It's lovely to speak to you all.
I feel as though we've woken the whole folk up for horror. So we're still going to hopefully squeeze in one last little item as well. Eva, what's the next question we need to put to Lou?
Yeah, and will we be hearing again from you soon?
Yes, will you return in 2018 to connect and update us on matters Orphala?
Absolutely. Yes, definitely. 100%. We will be in touch.
This is great stuff. Would you like to introduce the one that we're going to reprise, because I think it's only right, reaching out to you, an awful lot. Lou, an introduction, please.
Okay, so this next song is called Reaching Out to You by Orfila.
Hurt like hell, but I know it's just something I gotta do. But I don't wanna be the reason that your heart is broken. I know if I tell you, there's nothing I can do once these words are spoken. I just want you to know.
Season or approaching the holiday season and so on, 2 in 5 workers in the United Kingdom will check their emails over the festive period. A quarter will be checking their work emails on Christmas Day, and almost a third admits to having cancelled holidays due to work. The days of A Christmas Carol are not gone in the distant past, and clearly people are fretting about the importance of work at Christmas. Now, to address this and maybe actually give us some sage advice to get the work-life balance sorted out, and also dealing with millennial mentalities, we're delighted to welcome travel expert from Expedia, Mark Tavender. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, Anne. Well, thanks.
Here you are working in the holiday season and actually doing radio interviews and doing various other bits and pieces. Is this something that effectively we now have in Britain, a workaholic Britain, that actually we can't switch off, we can't give ourselves downtime, we're basically constantly tied into our electronic devices to check the work scenarios?
It certainly appears so, doesn't it? I mean, these make for pretty poor reading. But there are some positive numbers in here as well. And I think the important ones are that 75% of the respondents to this survey tell us that they actually feel more relaxed when they get back from their holidays, and 46% of them feel more productive. So they do know what's good for them. And that makes my life a bit easier when it comes to finding them the holiday they want to go on or the great deals that that they're looking for.
This is, of course, the critical side of things, because clearly from a psychological point of view, it does pay to unwind, to work through that. We're regularly told holidays are good for us. We need to work through that. But that work-life balance is so much at the heart of this whole challenge.
Incredibly so. And I think that we're going to have to actually work a touch harder in finding that work-life balance, perhaps going a little bit further to disconnect. One of the things that I've tested is removing that email app from my phone whilst I'm on a holiday, or perhaps making my way to a destination where the connectivity isn't quite so good. I've just returned from the northernmost part of Norway from a whale watching trip, and I can tell you that had I even wanted to, I'd have been unable to check my emails whilst I was out there.
The notion of the millennial mentality is also being mentioned here. Younger people finding it hardest to switch off. Over half of 18 to 24-year-olds plan to check their work emails over Christmas. Again, it's not going to sort of help matters, because there's not a great deal of people who actually do at that stage either.
Indeed, and I think this is probably the least surprising statistic. It's all too easy. We have a phone in our pockets and our laptops never far from our sides. I think that most of us have almost a path around our mobile devices. We check our Twitter, we check our Facebook and other social media. So a quick drop into our emails to see what's going on as well seems like sort of par for the course. And I think that's really what's driving it with these millennials who are so used to being connected from a social media perspective.
You mentioned a couple of moments ago the slightly ironic statement that we need to work harder at working at our work-life balance, which I'm sure many people actually say, how far do we sort of have to work? It's all too much. How can Expedia effectively sort of facilitate the processes of actually choosing the right holiday, the right ways to switch off?
Indeed, and I sort of talked about my job being made easier by the fact that at least people know that they need to get away. I have this great job, actually. My role really is to help people go places. I turn up to the Expedia office every morning with the intent of just making it easier to find those deals and to book people's holidays. And I find that particularly rewarding.
A bit like the Santa Claus of the travel industry, but actually doling out holiday packages as opposed to other presents and so on. You mentioned as well, in terms of obviously your own sort of particular way of switching off from that point of view, part of actually going from areas where there's low connectivity and so on, which of course might be a sort of aspect to actually choose from, go to the Highlands of Scotland, etc. Are there any other areas that you'd actually sort of say we should be heading to actually, again, switch off or indeed go off grid, shall we say?
If recent reports are anything to go by, there are parts of the UK where you'd find it rather easy to stay away from some mobile signal. I actually spent January trekking through the subterranean rainforests of Guatemala to a lost city called Tikal. I also drove across Namibia this year. These are all places, particularly whilst you're at the wheel of a car, actually, I can recommend that it's rather easy, or rather difficult, rather, to read your emails when you're having to concentrate on the road. Another trip I took this year was down through Croatia to Bosnia, all on a driving trip. And I was able to book as I went with the Expedia app as well. So it really means that you take each day as it comes and you're able to book what suits you at the time.
Is this a constant battle that as technology becomes more sophisticated and as more and more areas become connected and systems are sort of rolled out by the telecommunications industry, are we constantly going to be having to find different ways to effectively switch off, or is there always going to be that sort of tension of saying, okay, fine, let's just check this and confirm that all's well?
I think that it may even start moving back in a different direction. What I see is more people spending more time attempting to step away from this. I hear people talk about stepping away from the smartphone. There actually, in the travel industry even, are solutions that are being created that mean you can escape to places where you don't have any connectivity, places specifically designed for that sort of relaxing break.
And again, keeping irony to the fore, the best website or e-address to actually go to find out more details about Expedia, it will be?
Expedia.co.uk.
Mark, I knew it was going to be a wonderful time to actually share some thoughts with your good self. With over 14 years in the travel industry, clearly you're the go-to person when it comes to sorting out matters and so on and so forth. We salute you. Have a great and happy and restful holiday time.
And you. Thank you very much.
And that's where we actually thank Gabriella Peralta in Gibraltar, Richard Fitzwilliams in London, Ian Lennox in Tyneside, Shane Williams, MBE, obviously originally from Wales, Emma Kenny, a psychologist, Orfila, Lou Orfila, or is it Orfila? Get the pronunciation right in some way, shape or form, with the tambourine or without the tambourine. And, of course, Mark Tavender from Expedia there, and Mark Stratton. And David Cobham, Dr. David Cobham, have you enjoyed the final Midweek Drive morning edition of 2017?
It's been wonderful, and I feel suitably prepared for the Christmas break now, Alex.
Will you be stepping away from the smartphone, though?
I will make every effort to put the smartphone down. Is that a politician's answer?
Step away from the smartphone. It's different.
Out of arm's reach.
Exactly. Mm. And Eva, have you enjoyed your contributions to the programme this year?
I have. Do you know what? It feels like deja vu. I feel like you've just said that for 2016. And a year's gone.
2 years, actually. Almost. Well, yes, 26 years. Should be 2 years here. It's
crazy.
It's 2015. that's life. If you're listening to Siren Radio, worry not. Lots of great stuff coming through, including Sand and Country Vision's Christmas edition, which is on later on this evening at just after 7 o'clock. We actually went out live last night with Tessa Snart and Leanie Jane and Els Bailey and a whole range of things. There's lots of great stuff happening over Christmas throughout because Ryan Jones, our deputy manager, has put in all manner of wondrous things there. That's for Siren Radio. And if you're around in Lincoln on Saturday at the Drill Hall, where can they see you?
I will be singing at the Drill Hall on Saturday, starting at 11 and then finishing at 12:30, and I'm singing in the cafe bar, doing a little Christmas set.
And is that free for the general public?
It is, yeah. You can just come along, and I think they've got some festive food there as well.
That's even more wonderful, really. I mean, David, you once were very connected with the commuter jazz system. Is that the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre?
That's right, absolutely. Yes. When I was leading the faculty then.
Yes, actually, exactly.
That was a great pleasure to be involved in that. But I shall be at the Drill Hall also this evening with my daughter. I'll be picking up from the station in a few minutes' time. She's back for Christmas, and we'll be going to the panto this evening. So looking forward to that.
That's the panto at the Drill Hall?
The Drill Hall, yeah,
exactly.
Right, yeah.
Okay, you can also check out Aladdin at the new Lincoln Theatre Royal as well. Eva was poorly last week.
It's
just part and parcel of the whole system. We're out of here now. Thank you, dear listener, for being with us. We'll be back with the Midweek Drive in early January. That's January the 10th, January the 11th. Can we all say, what was she doing? Happy holidays, happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Let's have happy holidays as well.
Happy Christmas and happy holidays after three. One, two, three.
Happy Christmas and happy holidays.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and new one just begun. And so this is Christmas, I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones,
FM.
FM.
Online.
Online.
Mobile.
Mobile.
This is
This is
Siren Radio. Lincoln.